When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15. 10, 5. He'll score.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, Austin Norman, Jay Foreman, Old School. We are live in effect down here at 1040 O Street. We call it The Ticket. I call it, everybody calls it, everybody else knows it as the Mecca Sports Radio in Lincoln and Omaha. We are brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese, Special Ingredients of Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th Yankee Hill, every type of meat and every type of cut. Good crossover there with E. Strick, you know, talking a little NBA basketball. Hit him with a little surprise before he left about what's coming up in Old School. If you have not heard the news, it has just came down. It'll be official tomorrow. I guess it's not official until they finish all their meetings, Austin. That the NCAA is just from what I read, I just only got to gloss over it real quick. Allowing athletes, is, I'm reading this correctly, that as long as you're in good academic standings, I'm assuming at the school that you're leaving and then where you're going, that you can transfer as many times as you want and be able to play immediately. Now, what you can't do is do it in the middle of a season, kind of like basketball, and be eligible right away. But nevertheless, these kids are going to have more options to have many, many more hats. And many more options. And I guess the days of the reunions, there'll be a lot of miles traveled, you know, because you'll be at three or four different ones. So the days of what, you know, I was blessed to have is where, you know, you're at a school for 4 or 5 years, you're able to kind of grow together. And obviously we were very successful. So we get to have some pretty special, you know, 10-year, 20-year, 30-year, and hopefully 40 and 50-year reunions. Down the road for national championships, a lot of these kids will not have that. I mean, there will still be some, like Georgia, but I think it's going to be segmented. You'll see kids, if they just go to school for 5 years, being at five different places will not be abnormal. It will be inching towards normal behavior and normal college experience.
Well, and there's plenty of kids coming into the recruiting cycles now, Jay, that have already, you know, transferred to multiple high schools.
Yes.
Right. So this is ingrained even in a level down below. I don't know what I think about the NCAA tying this to academics. I think there's a worry that credits could get lost in the shuffle, that they don't transfer correctly all the time, right, in terms of the level of the class that you're taking, the degree requirements. So I think the academic side is going to come into play even more often than it already does. What does that mean for, you know, Stanford and Vandy and Northwestern and Rice, schools like that in football, Georgia Tech, Virginia in that conversation, Duke, whatever, that are, you know, more academically minded, right? That have these higher admission standards that's typically now quote unquote harder to recruit to.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you get in from there and you have good grades, you can go anywhere.
Yeah.
But what if, you know, are we going to have to level the playing field in terms of the academic standard? So will those high, you know, prestige academic institutions have to lower their level a little bit? You know,
well, haven't they already kind of outside of sports raised the level so they don't have as many minorities on campus, right? They've already done that. So now if you lower it, they say, hey, all the work we've done is for nothing. Are they only going to do it for athletes? Then you open up a whole bag of worms. And, you know,
so I think sports involved as well. Yeah. My last point, and I'll get your way, is I want to think that the NCAA is doing this for the right reasons, but I find it really hard to do. To me, tying all of this to academics is more an attempt to save face than them actually looking at a solution.
Yeah, I think it's hard to say. I don't know. I would, if they would have said, listen, you get three times the transfer. That's over half. If you redshirt and play 4 years, that I'd be okay with that. To be able to essentially go to five different places is crazy. You won't get, and to be honest with you, you can't say, like, if I picked, say, Nebraska, I couldn't tell you that there was a problem or I was upgrading at four different places, because every place there's no perfect university. You got to make it your best perfect. And am I in? Okay. The old school player, the older person, or maybe the NCAA say, okay, college experience. Okay, that's fine. That's not a college experience because you don't have a regular student going to four different universities unless there's, you know, a major or, you know, moving or say some sort of relationship or something. That very rarely doesn't happen. And are you really putting this is what I would ask a player. Now, granted, if you start at, say, Nebraska and say, I just can't get off the bench, they got eight linebackers, then I got to transfer down to get back up. And then say the coach gets fired. I mean, there is an outlier. You know what I mean? Then, okay, now I'm on school number four. Nothing am I doing. I did it right, right? I didn't play. We're talking, you know.
Waited out a couple of years.
Like Randolph Kapai, you know, where he's, you know, doesn't have any film. He's probably might going to have to go down a level to get back up. Okay, say he does there and say he has some success there, right? Mm-hmm. And then Jay Foreman, Austin Orman is his D coordinator or position coach, linebacker coach, and say we end up going to Michigan State. Well, then, okay, now he's at his fourth university. I understand that, right? Because you want to make sure that you're putting yourself in the best position to play. But if you're just going here, showing up, expecting a handout, and by handout playing time and obviously NIL or whatever, all right, I used you, and then I'm going to go to use another place. Well, here's the problem. Those same type of athletes and that same type of mindset will be the same ones talking about, why is the coach leaving? I'm not getting my playing time, and I'm not getting mine. And then at the end of the day, you won't produce a lot of good football players in this way. I wish they would have put a number on it. And then there's always a way to have an appeal and a legitimate appeal.
Yeah.
And have as long as you get your appeal in on time, you can be heard by rational people, not just say,
in a
reasonable amount of time. You know, the North Carolina situation where there was no communication.
Right.
If you could do that, then I'm fine with that. But I just think this unlimited is just,
little too open.
It's way too
open.
But it's like, we didn't learn anything from NIL, right? I mean, NIL is something that obviously Ed O'Bannon and even you throw Sam Keller in there, but Ed O'Bannon started a long time ago. Everybody was like, nope. I mean, I've heard people around here say, oh, this is going to change college football. There's no way this should. It should have been happening even when I played, even before I played. Okay, it's happened. But then there was no regulation. And now we're in a free-for-all in NIL. Now they're starting to kind of, you know, at the very back end to try to curtail it. But the damage is done. Now you're going to, okay, now you think, okay, well, there's so much movement with college coaches. This is how I would, argue with to get more transfers for guys. There's so much movement, right? There's so much more opportunity out there. But how much opportunity and how valuable are you if you are on your fourth or fifth school?
Right.
Because I think your value starts to go down, because if I try to say, Okay, I'm gonna say here, I'll do a shameless plug for something in the future. Say if I try to market player A over there at my man over highball bar right across the street, right? But he only has he's on his last year, and he shows up. He comes here in August. Well, you know, he's gone by November.
Mm-hmm.
So how valuable are you?
Not very.
Not very. And where can I get a return on my investment? And this is hoping that you not only match the expectations mm-hmm. on the field,
mm-hmm.
better yet, returned, exceed them.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen very much very often.
It really doesn't. And this is where the business examples make sense because we're talking about money. And I want to be clear, neither of us are referring to, I mean, obviously, Jay, having played in the NFL, talk about a business, right? Yeah. Neither of us want to refer to players as just assets, right? In the cold, hard business terms.
But,
if you're an asset, you can either appreciate in value, become more valuable over time, or you can depreciate. And I think the types of players that grow their value, that appreciate, are the players who, you know, stick 2-3 years at a place, learn a system, and then they can go to a coach who runs a similar system, already come in, and maybe some terminology is different. Obviously, relationships are different, but in a football sense, you know the defense. You know the playbook on offense, whatever it is. So you can, you know, get a leg up on the freshmen coming in, on other transfers who are coming from a different system. The players that I think depreciate in value are the ones that hop from school to school to school, situation to situation, are never really locked into or in tune with a particular school.
Right.
So they don't actually sink their teeth into a playbook. It's just like, oh, I'll do this to pass the time. I'm just going to be on the field, rely on talent. What did you actually learn at any of these?
You're not going to win.
You're
not going to learn anything. You're not going to win. And, you know, to be honest with you, you're not going to get better. And the reason why I say this is because you deal with this a lot in club sports, like club basketball. You'll see some kid. Now, granted, you know, if you start to mature and your skill set gets past, like you're say, you know, majority of the team, then you do need to go and challenge yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's natural.
Yeah.
Right. But you'll see kids that will, I call them opportunists, right? Mm-hmm. Anytime that somebody sends them a text, they'll do go here, go there. Well, here's what
happens. Just because they feel wanted.
Because they feel wanted. But what happens is, like you said, you're not invested in the playbook. You're not invested in, say, like Lincoln. You're not invested into the team. So how invested can you be? And then every coach wants players that have bought into their culture, have bought into their system, and just being in Nebraska and all that. And that separates the teams that can get through that threshold of, say, 6-7 wins, and then in 2 or 3 years have worked to get to 9, 10, and 11 wins. If you want an example of it, now granted, they didn't have NIL and all this other stuff, but you got to think that senior class that just left from Michigan. A lot of the guys that went to the combine, all 18 of them, or there's 18 this year, but a lot of those guys would have been to the combine last year. Mm-hmm. They would have been drafted last year. They came back. Why? Because they were invested. They saw something bigger than themselves. They won a national championship. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, you want to say is an asterisk by it. So what? But at the end of the day, they were the best team, the most consistent team. And they're still getting drafted. And a lot more guys are getting looks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even outside of those 18.
Yeah.
And so I understand the rule. I just hate the fact that you made a rule in the court of law and didn't have any, like, cutoff point. We just had the discussion about the tight end that went in the portal. University of Miami. He's like 28 years old.
Oh, that guy.
Everybody's up in arms about that. Like, mm-hmm. You can't go to the pros because you're too old now. I mean, 24, we had some guys that were super COVID and they were 24 and that mm-hmm. hurt them in the draft process. 28 years old. You're still playing in college. I can't even imagine in year 6 or 7 in the NFL going back and playing against kids.
And see, that goes to your point, too, about how there needs to be an appeal process, right? And that rational board and a reasonable amount of time looking at this stuff. Because, sorry, man, you don't need to play college football anymore.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, just here's life. Move on.
Right.
There needs to be, I think what you're saying, that reasonable middle ground where 3 transfers in 4 years or 5 years seems like a lot, but hopefully not a lot of players actually reach
right.
So if someone does, you know, reach 3 in their first 3 years because of, you know, coach change and then family situation and then maybe just not the right fit, made a bad choice on option number three.
It can happen.
It can happen, but that's where that appeal process is A, necessary, but B, cumbersome.
Right.
Right? Because you have to find a way to treat these players like individuals. You can't make them all blanket cases, but that makes it so important to make a good rule to limit the number of possible exceptions.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. You start out kind of low and you can always open it up in something. So now you started here unlimited. Now it's hard to curtail them. Right. That's why, I mean, it's no different of analogy of like, if I'm going to come in as a head coach, I'm going to make that first year the hardest possible because then I can always loosen up. And so that's just that this right here. And you know, you could throw something in there. Okay. If your head coach leaves within the first calendar, whatever sport year, then that doesn't count against your three.
Right.
Right. You could do, you know, and then say, like,
would you do it from signing day or commitment date?
Probably signing day because, you know, you could commit to eight different places. So let's just go once you sign, because that's what sometimes happens. You get signed and say, you know, the linebacker coach is there in early signing period. And then next thing you know, he gets in just, look, he levels up. He gets a job to be a defensive coordinator after bowl season. Well, then you can possibly appeal to be, you know, back in the, you know, the portal or not. Or when you do transfer after a year, you don't, you know, lose your, you know, eligible transfers. But just to have it blanket, I'm sure they're going to hopefully add stuff to it. I would have liked to hope that they learned a little bit from NIL. But it doesn't seem like it. But, you know, I do understand it and I like it, you know, in some cases. I prefer majority of kids to stick it out because generally, you know, the cream will rise to the top. I think it'll also, when you're doing it and you're here and you improve, and it necessarily doesn't have to be that you are all conference player. If you're incrementally improving, that means you're matching expectations and incrementally exceeding them. So then when you go back to whatever collective, well, then we got a different deal. You can't just turn your nose up at somebody just because he's second team and he's, you know, still a productive player, because then that gives you more negotiating power. Because say like you're the starter and I'm the backup but I'm a rotational player. So say you're playing 60% and I'm playing 40 or 65-35. If I'm smart, I'm coming back and looking at my factor rating or my playmaking percentage based on my plays. And then I'm coming at it from a business standpoint. You know, I'm sticking it out because if I take this product here to somebody that really, really needs it, if I'm taking my 35% and they're going to let me play 75%, well, the joke's on you, Jack. I'm about to level up two times. Essentially, you're getting a hometown discount. So I think I would have liked it that way, but, you know, damage is done. Today, it'll be official tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, right. After the last meeting. And then you know when that meeting is going to be done? Like 9 o'clock. You know those meetings are like? You just got to make sure you come in and sign your name, get you some coffee, and make sure you hit the airport in time to catch your flight.
Right. I do think it's important to throw this out here, too, to your point about, you know, going from the 35% to the 75%. Success can look different for each player, depending on where you start. And I think it has to. I think, understandably so, we pay attention to, we glorify the starters and the guy that put up, you know, big numbers. But what about a guy that walks on, seventh string guy, never sees the field? Next year, he's fourth string.
Yeah.
Year after that, he gets, you know, a handful of special team snaps. Yeah. And then, you know, he's a third string guy still by the time his senior year rolls around. Maybe not a core special teamer, but rotates in on special teams. That's a big jump for that kid who probably got put on scholarship, you know, at the end of the day.
And that's what you want. That's the selling point of your program.
But you're probably not getting that if you transfer out, right? Because maybe this player would leave and they would, okay, if they get a scholarship, business is business, right? School's expensive. If you can get your school paid for,
then you got
to, by all means, go get your school paid for. But if you're going to go be a walk-on to a walk-on or going scholarship to scholarship and there's not a difference there, the opportunity cost of transferring isn't just how many more snaps am I getting? It's what lessons could I have learned along the way that are going to make me a better, man, woman in the future.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. And like you said, I mean, there's guys that when you look at NFL that were starters and all conference players at whatever college they were at before they got, you know, drafted or got a trial in the NFL, became core special teams guys and were able to play 8, 9, 10 years in the league. You know, look at Larry Izzo, very productive player at Rice. Obviously, you know, skill, you're playing behind Teddy Bruschi and Ted Johnson and all those great guys, right? Vrabel sometimes played inside. You're not going to play. What does he do? Play special teams. Larry Wiggum, right, was a kind of a hybrid type of player, right, where he was a corner, safety, you know, he's tall and stuff like that. He was end up playing, you know, tons of years. Matthew Slater played, seemed like 20 years.
Right.
His dad, Jackie Slater, I think played 20-some years. He's a special teams guy, just retired. And the reason why I say it's important is because you could carve out some sort of role like that and be very valuable at any university if you continue along the process and do that stuff. So I think Nebraska had a kid on their team, I think last year, and obviously during when Frost was here, is Taggy, who was phenomenal on special teams.
Look, tough, like Bale and Sanford.
Right. Phenomenal. And if they would have, you know, decided to go in the portal because they, you know, saw, you know, in Sanford's case, Deshaun Singleton coming in and Buford and all they, you know, Javon, right, all these guys, right? You know, Omar Brown, all these guys, he like just threw his hands up and said, I'm out of here. Well, he just had a phenomenal experience in college, and he obviously ran really well at the pro day. And so you just never know. You just never know. And so he's stuck around with Matt Rhule's first year. I'm sure Matt Rhule has a, you know, look, he's said, if you play for me, you play for me forever. He will probably want to ever get into some sort of coaching or something like that. You have a great reference. You go and transfer your last year, and the coach gets fired, and he's, you know, got his coaching for his job. He's not thinking about you. You know what I mean? These are the things that, you know, you have to think past the right now. And I know it's hard. You know, and like I said, I'm always been very open about myself that I was probably about 24 hours, 48 hours from transferring to Michigan, without a doubt. And
you'd been the first Ernest Hausman, Jay.
Yeah. But I wouldn't have been getting paid. But I mean, it was
not over the table.
Yeah. Yeah. They wouldn't get I would have probably tried to get a car or something. But, you know, I just think it's, you know, one of those things that, you know, you can be very impulsive. You can be very worried about yourself. And I think that one of the things that really helped me, you know, last 9 years in the league was dealing with adversity, learning how to compete, and having a bigger chip on my shoulder based on that situation. Instead of running away from competition or a situation that I very easily felt like I could go in a argue in a court of law when I had to deal with football, you know, the court of football, that I was very justified in what I was thinking about, factual evidence, and then also backing up with real evidence on the field and tape. But embracing competition and not running from it, but then also having some sort of business sense and thinking about it from a business standpoint, I might not be talking to you right now. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't. If I went to Michigan, who knows? I would have been just the guy. You know, I mean, yeah, you'd have been a part of maybe their 97 team, but it's more sweet to be here. You know?
And actually get to claim the 97 championship.
We're 97 champs. Yeah. Nobody thinks about Michigan anymore. No. They really don't. One of my high school teammates played at Michigan, and he even said, he's like, you know, we split with you guys. Nobody ever looks at us in national championship. Only in Ann Arbor.
Right. And now they can stop talking about it. That's the one benefit of them getting this last year.
Yes. And they are, you know, I mean, so a lot of ways they earned it. Now, I don't know how much help they got. I don't know why they would need it. You got 18 guys going to the combine. You need some help by Yahoo over there who couldn't even disguise himself when he was up there filming stuff. So anyways, good first segment. Transfer portal is unlimited now. Probably might have the outcome of Mr. Unlimited, Russell Wilson. It is his tenure in Denver will be short-lived. Hopefully they revisit it, change it. We're going to take a quick break, come back. We're going to talk about one of the GOATs, not one of the GOATs, maybe the greatest NFL coach of all time, why he didn't go to Atlanta, and Robert Kraft. See, this is the thing about the NFL. Listen, them owners, them dudes are tight. And the two most influential, or three of them, is Jerry Jones, Robert Kraft, Arthur Blank. No matter, they might squabble, but when it comes down to business and you pick up the phone, they call on the bat phone, you get he delivering the message. The article came out. You might say it might not be factual, but you don't write an article like that if there's not a lot of credit to it. We're going to talk about it not only in this next segment, but at the top of 5 o'clock hour. Jay Foreman, Austin Norman, Old School. We'll be right back.